Let's turn to the book of the Psalms, please. The book of the Psalms, I'm going to ask you to read with me, first of all, from Psalm number 50. Psalm 50, and we read from verse number 21. And it says, "These things hast thou done, and I kept silence. Thou thoughtest that I was altogether such an one as thyself. But I will reprove thee, and set them in order before thine eyes. Now consider this, ye that forget God, lest I tear you in pieces, and there be none to deliver." Come over with me, please, to the book of Hebrews, into the New Testament. We'll take a reference from the New Testament book of Hebrews. And we read together in chapter 12. Hebrews chapter 12. And for connection, let's read the first few words of verse number 2. And it says, "Looking unto Jesus." Just look at verse number 3. "For consider him that endured such contradiction of sinners against himself, lest ye be wearied and faint in your minds." And our final reading is going to be in the book of Haggai. Now, just so that you're aware, the book of Haggai is the third last book in the Old Testament. That will locate it for you, and it means there won't be a shuffling of pages and people trying to find it. If you can find the book of Malachi, the last book, you'll move backwards to the book of Zechariah, and before the book of Zechariah, you'll find the book of Haggai. Haggai chapter 1, please. In verse number 3, Haggai 1, verse 3, "Then came the word of the Lord by Haggai the prophet, saying, Is it time for you, O ye, to dwell in your sealed or paneled houses, and this house lie waste? Now therefore, thus saith the Lord of hosts, consider your ways. Ye have sown much, and bring in little. Ye eat, but ye have not enough. Ye drink, but ye are not filled with drink. Ye clothe you, but there is none warm. And he that earneth wages, earneth wages to put into a bag with holes. Thus saith the Lord of hosts, consider your ways." And God bless to us this reading from the sacred scriptures, along with what we have heard already from our brother Peter. You can evidently see what I have before me tonight, just in the concluding part of this gospel meeting. I want to speak to you, first of all, from the book of Haggai. And in the book of Haggai, we read, consider your ways. From the book of Hebrews, we read there, consider him. And I want you to consider with me the person of the Lord Jesus. And finally, in the book of Psalms, Psalm number 50, we read, now consider this, ye that forget God. When it comes to a consideration, you know what we mean when we speak about considering things. All the children here, they do it all the time. When it comes to things that need to be done for school, they evaluate and they weigh it up and they consider. Whether it's homework or whether it's courses that they're taking, whether they take French or whether they take German or whether they take whatever you're going to take, whatever language. But you know that you do evaluate and you consider. It comes to older ones, and they go to college, and they consider that. When it comes to people with work and employment, there is consideration, and it is weighed up. If I take these steps, this will be the outcome. If I take these steps, this will be the logical conclusion, and so we consider. I still remember, it was just before my wife and I came to Canada, and that's 12 years ago. I had a savings plan that was just maturing, and it was just ideal circumstances. And my wife said to me, she sat me down one day and she said, you know that your savings plan is going to mature, don't you? I said, yeah. She said, if we are not accepted for Canada, what are you going to do with that? And I smiled at her and I said, sweetie, I'm going to buy a Porsche. Just like you, she laughed as well. And she said, what? I said, I'm going to invest it in a Porsche. She said, no, 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 no. Well, I said, listen, you would look really good in a Porsche. Now, you evidently can tell we got to Canada and I never got my Porsche. But I did evaluate it and I did consider it and I weighed it up well. In fact, I even had the particular model that I wanted to buy. And I was tracing it on the internet, and I was following it, and I was thinking to myself, this is the one I want, and it looks so good, and I considered it. But I want to move you back to the book of Haggai. In the book of Haggai, I want you first of all to consider the complacency of the people that Haggai is speaking to, their complacency. In fact, the circumstances of Haggai are very similar to the circumstances of Winnipeg. You say, really? Haggai in the Old Testament and us? Well, think about it now. Haggai speaks about people and he speaks about what they're eating. We read that. He speaks about their wages. He speaks about their homes. He speaks about what they're clothed in. He speaks about the impact and import of their lives. And he says this, you've got your eye fixed on the wrong thing. He says you're fixed on this world. And he says, as you are fixed on this world, you're fixed on your clothing, and you're considering your employment, and you're considering your wages, and you're thinking about your homes. And he said, all you're occupied with is this world. And Haggai's impact is this. There's another world. You know, as I'm preaching here tonight, I want everyone to understand that there's another world. You might wonder, why is it that Mr. Ramsey preach so passionately about a treasure? You know the reason why, folks? You could have that treasure. And you could be ready for another world. As he stood here, he told you, 50 years, saved, and on the way to heaven. I got saved in 1990. And I'll let you do the math. I was very young when I got saved. As you can tell, I'm still quite young. But the reality is this now. I see people smiling at me. And whilst I have introduced levity, don't forget now the big point of this gospel meeting, that you and I are living in this world, but there's another world, and we are moving as fast as possible to another world. And in that other world, there are only two places where people will be. The reason why we preach the way we do is because there is a real heaven. And the reason why we preach the way we do is because there is a real hell. And Haggai says, consider your ways. The people were complacent. And they were sitting back. And they were thinking about this world. And they were thinking about their circumstances and the things around them. And they had forgotten there's another world. Their complacency. I was going to speak about the challenge, but I'm going to leave that one just for sake of time. I'm going to leave the challenge of Haggai's words. I do want to come to this, the circumstances that Haggai addresses. Did you get what Haggai says? It's your ways. And he says, make sure you consider your ways. Now, you know that the Bible speaks about our ways. The Bible says, all we like sheep have gone astray. We have turned everyone to his own way. The Bible says, woe unto them who have gone in the way of Cain. Twice over in the book of Proverbs, the proverb says, there is a way that seemeth right unto a man. In the scriptures we read, the way of the transgressor is hard. Now let me ask you tonight, what about your way? Because I'm preaching to people. I'm speaking to people. Actually, I'm preaching for people. I hope you get the distinction now. It's not just that I'm preaching to people. But as we preach, every one of us that preach, we believe that there are people in this gospel meeting and they could get Christ tonight. Do you believe that? I hope you believe it because we believe it.
I hope you understand tonight that you could have that tremendous treasure, that you could have Jesus Christ as your Savior, and the only thing that matters in life is having Christ. The only thing that matters in life is knowing your sins forgiven. The only thing that matters in life is this, that you consider, and consider it well. Consider your ways. I want to move from that, and I want to bring you to the book of Hebrews. And it's not now consider your ways, but listen to this. This is so wonderful. Do you hear what the writer to the Hebrews says? He says, consider him. Consider him. You say, who is this? This is the one that is the forecast of prophecy. You know, I used to hear men preach this. The prophecies of the Old Testament about the Lord Jesus. And so I had heard about the mathematical probability of prophecy. So many prophecies that were fulfilled in the Lord Jesus. And so just a few weeks ago, I sat in my study and I said to myself, I wonder about the law of mathematical probability and the prophecies of the Old Testament. And so I started to do the math. Actually, I pulled a book from the shelf of my study and it gave 66 prophecies from Scripture regarding Christ. Consider him. And I thought, that's too many. So I pulled another book and it gave 365 prophecies. And I thought, now I'm really in trouble. And so I pulled a book from the shelf and it gave 8 prophecies. It spoke about the book of Micah, where Christ would be born. It spoke about the book of Daniel, when Christ would be born. It spoke about the book of Isaiah chapter 7, how Christ would be born. It spoke about the book of Isaiah 53, that Christ would grow up amongst men. It spoke from Isaiah 53, that Christ would be rejected. That's 5 prophecies. It spoke about Psalm 22, that Christ would die upon a cross. They pierced my hands and my feet. It spoke about the burial of the Lord Jesus. Isaiah 53 again, he would be buried in a rich man's tomb. It spoke about the ascension of the Lord Jesus. Psalm 110, verse number 1, the Lord said unto my Lord, sit thou on my right hand. And I said to myself, I wonder what the law of mathematical probability, that 8 of those prophecies would be fulfilled in one person. And I started to read. And it said in the book, the probability would be 1 chance in 10 to the power of 17. And then it gave a number. And I'll be honest with you, I looked at the number and I thought, what is that number? It was 1 followed by so many zeros, I wasn't even sure what it was. So Siri, Siri's always helpful. So with Google and Siri, I wonder what the number was. And the number turned out to be 100 quadrillion. Now that's really helpful, isn't it? 1 chance in 100 quadrillion. So I said to myself, what is 100 quadrillion? That turns out to be 100,000 billion. And I was none the wiser. But the book did give me the illustration of it. The fact that 8 of these prophecies would be fulfilled in one man on planet Earth. It said the likelihood of it is that you take the whole state of Texas, the biggest state in the United States apart from Alaska, you take the whole state of Texas and you take dimes and you fill the whole state of Texas 100,000 billion. You know how much it would be? It would fill the whole, every square inch of the state of Texas, 2 feet with dimes. Now it said the likelihood that 8 prophecies would be fulfilled in one man. You take a blind man and you blindfold the blind man and you throw one of those dimes into the state of Texas and you tell that blindfolded man, we have marked one of those dimes, go and find it. There you go, folks. Consider him. The Bible is filled with Christ. From Genesis 1, Genesis 2, Genesis 3, it's all Christ. You move through to the book of Exodus, it's Christ. Consider him. You go to the book of Leviticus, it's Christ. Listen to what the Bible says. To him give all the prophets witness. And I want to tell you tonight, I want you to consider him. The forecast of prophecy. Right through the Old Testament, the golden grains of Holy Scripture is full of Christ, the forecast of prophecy. I want to move very quickly, or I'll get sidetracked here all night. I want you to think, consider him. He's the focus of history. You think of all the great men of history. Tell me, what's the focus of history? Or you say Alexander the Great. I think you got that one wrong. Well, you say it was Napoleon Bonaparte. No, it wasn't. It was Winston Churchill. I don't think that one cuts it. Julius Caesar, the great man of history, and the great women of history. Listen, folks, the focus of history is Jesus Christ. All history was moving forward, and all history irresistibly will look backward to the Lord Jesus Christ. I like the preacher. He was being interviewed one day, a television interview, actually Harold Paisley's brother. And the interviewer thought she would catch him. And she said to him, she said, "Mr. Paisley, could you prove the reality of Jesus Christ apart from the Bible?" And the man drew himself up to his full height and he smiled at her. "Of course, my dear, of course I could prove it." And she said, "You mean to tell me that you can prove that Jesus Christ was here apart from the Bible?" "Yes," he said. "Tell me," he said, "what day is it?" And she told him what day it was. He said, "Tell me, what month is it?" And she told him what month it was. He said to her, "Tell me, my dear, what year is it?" And she told him what year it was. Now, he said to her, "What does that date from?" And she was absolutely silent. He said to her, "You know what it dates from. The very date on our calendar is a witness in history that Christ was here, that he has come. You know, over the Old Testament we write, 'He is coming.' Over the Gospels we write, 'He has come.' Over the New Testament epistles, do you know what we write? 'He is coming again.'" Let me stop preaching to sinners for a moment. I'm going to preach to those that are saved. Isn't it a wonderful thing that he's coming again? You folks that are here tonight, you folks that are saved, Jesus is coming. Sing the glad word. He's coming for those he redeemed by his blood. He's coming to reign as the glorified Lord. Jesus is coming again. Consider him. The forecast of prophecy is Christ. The focus of history is Christ. I want you to consider with me the fullness of Calvary, and it's all Christ. Do you know what it says in the Bible? When they were come to the place that is called Calvary, there they crucified him. And at Calvary, there was a mighty sacrifice for our sins. The Bible says, "Every priest standeth daily, ministering, offering oftentimes the same sacrifices that can never take away sins. But this man, after he had offered one sacrifice, one mighty sacrifice for human sin." You know, folks, in this gospel meeting, there's no one here needs to be in hell. There was a mighty sacrifice that paid the tremendous debt for human sin. The Bible says he put away sin. The Bible says he made an end of sin. The Bible says Christ died for our sins according to the Scriptures. Boy, you say, it's the end of the conference and you're getting excited. If you were up here preaching about salvation, and if you were telling people about this wonderful treasure, I tell you, folks, you'd get excited as well. Consider him. He's worth considering tonight. The forecast of prophecy, the focus of history, and the fullness of Calvary. I have another one for you. Did you ever think about the future of glory? Every person that is saved, their future's secure. I was having gospel meetings. It's a few years ago now, but Cornerbrook, Newfoundland. I was with a man who's preached on the prairie provinces. His name was Jonathan Procopio. And every night, just before the gospel, he and I would come to the gospel hall. And we'd walk around with hymn books, considering the hymns we'd give out, trying to kill a few butterflies. There we are. And he knew I was going to Labrador. Just in a few months' time, I was leaving Nova Scotia again. And I was going to Labrador with another preacher called Albert Hull. And one night in that little room, Mr. Procopio looked at me and he said, "You're going to be going to Labrador soon, isn't that right?" I said, "Yep." He said, did you ever hear them sing in Labrador? I'd never been in Labrador before. He said, when you get to Labrador, you make sure you give out. And he gave me the number of the hymn, 214. I didn't think much about it. I took a note of it. I was due to leave for Labrador on a Thursday morning. On the Wednesday evening, Mr. Hull called me. And he had a diagnosis from his doctor. And he said to me, I've got cancer. I'm not going to be able to go. He said, now, he said, I've spoken to the brethren. He said, they want you to go, but they want you to get someone. I was leaving the next day. So I thought to myself, what's the chances? So I said, I'll call John Procopio. He used to live in Labrador. And I put that call through to John Procopio. And I said to him, he answered, by the way. I should finish that story. He answered. And he said to me, you got cold feet? I said, no. I said to him, I'm looking for someone to go with me to Labrador. He said, give me 5 minutes. And in 5 minutes time, that phone rang. And he said, I'll go with you to Labrador. And we arrived on the Thursday evening. Spent Friday, spent Saturday. And we got there for Sunday evening. Now, I tell you, the singing here is beautiful. Listen, folks, you did a great job tonight. But you've never heard singing until you get to Labrador. I'm sorry to tell you. They can really put it. Now, I primed them a bit. I have to tell you that. I gave out the first hymn. And then when I was giving out the second hymn, number 214, I primed them. And I said, Mr. Procopio tells me that you folks can really sing. And more than that, he tells me that you can really sing this one. Now we'll stand to sing. And they stood up and they started to sing. We speak of the land of the blessed. That country so bright and so fair. And oft are its glories confessed. And what must it be to be there? It was so powerful. It was almost like they were lifting the roof off. Every verse, it just reverberated louder and louder and louder. And they started to sing the last stanza. And as they're singing the last stanza, John Procopio walks over to me and he whispers in my ear, how are we ever going to preach after this? I tell you, folks, mind you, there is a better land. And there is the land of the blessed. There is a country that doesn't know sin. There is a land that doesn't know shame. There is a land that doesn't know the effects that this world knows. There is a place so pristine and so glorious. And every person that is saved is going to be there. Let me ask you, are you going to be there? The only thing that matters tonight, have you got Christ? The only thing that matters in this gospel meeting, do you know him? The only thing that matters right here and right now is if you have this treasure and you know the Lord Jesus, consider him. I will finish. The book of Psalms, Psalm number 50. Consider this, all ye that forget God. Mind you, Psalm 50 is telling us that there's a day when God is going to set every transgression right before the sinner. The Bible says that every one of us shall give account of himself to God. The Bible says, prepare to meet thy God. And in that coming day, you will look into the eyes of the Lord Jesus. And you will give account. These things hast thou done, and I kept silence. Thou thoughtest I was altogether such an one as thyself. But I will reprove thee. I will set them in order before thine eyes. It's time to get Christ, folks. It's time to be saved. Consider this. Just as I conclude, consider him. If you want your sins forgiven, you consider the Lord Jesus. Trust him as your Savior, and he will forgive every sin. Let's pray.